And now once again coming to you nearly live from a mineshaft deep beneath Virginia City and Story County, it's the Storyteller Podcast. We interviewed Danny Tarkanian in episode 8, and we threatened to have the audio for the entire presentation that both Mr. Tarkanian and Mr. Schwartz gave, with including questions and answers from the crowd. Sadly, that audio didn't make the cut. It wasn't quite loud enough, and after monkeying around with it a little bit, it became evident that I was not going to be able to salvage it. So we're going to bring you Mr. Schwartz here in a moment. As I mentioned in the interview, in the prologue to preceding Danny Tarkanian's interview, what we're doing here at The Storyteller needs your support. We'd love for you to share what we are doing with your friends and neighbors who may not know about us, and talk to them about what it is that we're talking about, whether you agree or disagree with what we're doing. The exchange of ideas here within the format and the context of our county is really important. I think that too many times, you know, Safeway has tri-tips and Budweiser, AMPM's pumping gas, and you know, the playoffs, the baseball playoffs or football's on TV. And we just really kind of leave the governance up to the people who are in charge. I think that it's time for us here in Story County, here in Nevada, here in the United States, to, you know, maybe turn that TV off, you know, go and get engaged, do some reading, do some research, reach out and talk to your elected officials and let them know what kind of job you think they're doing. If there's issues within your, you know, neighborhood, on your street, here in Story County, in Nevada, or in the United States, it's their job to listen to us. And if we're not talking, then they're not hearing us. If you don't say something, you're invisible. So please, at the very least, you know, put the TV clicker down, get out and get engaged. If you want to support The Storyteller in a very direct and meaningful way, there's a way to contribute money to our effort. Everything I do is by the bootstraps, and I only get paid from listeners like you. I've been astonished at the outpouring. Well, every time I've asked for money, I've gotten it. I'm not asking for tons of money, and I don't expect to make a living doing this, but I do expect to make a change. And the more incentive I have, the easier it is for me to buy new equipment, to get different types of pieces of software under my belt, and frankly, to pay for gas to get to different places. You know, that takes money, and if you think that this effort is worth it, feel free to give what you can. If you don't have a lot of money, if you don't have, you know, the means to donate, then by all means, don't. But at the very least, share what we're doing with your friends and neighbors. And
hey, Sam Toll here from The Storyteller.
Help support making this community serve everyone and not a select few.
And has,
okay, so now without any further ado,
it's
Dan Schwartz.
He's looking to
candidate
lead
for
the
governor
as governor.
And I'd really welcome Dan, Mr. Schwartz.
Welcome. Good. Thanks a bunch. To say we. I've been state treasurer for 2 and going on 3 years. As Sam said, we've done a lot. The treasurer has 4 major responsibilities. One of them is investing the state's money. We've increased returns by 2 to 3 times, but now working on 3. We've restructured college savings and college kickstart. We've returned $80 million to taxpayers through bond refunding. And unclaimed property, we've taken the processing period from 120 to 20 days. I've also led the charge on ESAs, and we also opposed issuing $175 million in bonds for Faraday Future. What I'd like to do going forward, to me, education is critical. I've told people that I will not sign any bill until I have an ESA bill on my desk. I also want to look at the university and K-12 education. I want to really begin to diversify the economy. I think, as the recent tragedy in Las Vegas showed, we're way too dependent on the casinos. Would really like to look at other industries such as drones, autonomous vehicles, water tech, and alternative energy. So lots to do there, and health insurance. I don't want to get involved in the national debate, but I was disappointed that there was no real, no one took a real hard look at how healthcare insurance is structured, and what I'd really like to see is to see that separated between what I call cuts and scrapes insurance and critical care. So that's kind of a brief overview of what I've done and what I hope to do.
Thank you. Yeah, that's quite a bit. Obviously, the state's plate is full, and leadership requires being on top of all of those things. You talked about ESAs, and I'm not familiar with that term. Share with me what that stands for.
Sure, and I've made this mistake before just because I was so involved. ESAs, what that is parental choice. And what that means is that if a parent is unhappy with the education their son or daughter is getting, the state will effectively issue a check for, depending on their income level, if you're like most people, it'll be about $5,200 annually. If you're over 185% of the poverty level, it's $5,700. And what we're really trying to do is to give parents who want to see their kids educated, give them the choice, give them the right to make a decision where they should go to school.
So it's interesting because I, of course, you know, my kids were all educated in the regular high school system, just like it's been since, you know, we were kids. And, you know, the notion of school vouchers, of being able to homeschool your kids if that's something that you feel is appropriate, whether it's because of, you know, social or religious reasons, or because you think that the state's just not doing the job they should be, that is an option that is, you know, teachers' unions and school districts are going to fight you on. But the fact is that your customer, you know, many of these entities have forgotten who their customer is, which is the children and then their parents. So it's interesting that that you're, you know, focusing on that and feel as strongly as you do. I'm grateful for that. You've talked about repealing the commerce tax, and I've talked to Controller Ron Knecht about this. Explain to us in simple terms, and that's not always possible with this subject, but what does the commerce tax, what does repealing the commerce tax mean to the average Joe and Jane?
Yeah, I'll just back up a little bit. When Governor Sandoval came up with his $1.5 billion worth of tax increases in 2015, he imposed what was known a BLT, business licensing tax, and it was effectively a margins tax. And what does that mean? Is that instead of taxing income, they're going to tax gross receipts. It's a gross receipts tax. And he was able to get it through the Senate, couldn't get it through the Assembly. The Assembly came up with this commerce tax, and as I said, it's a gross receipts tax. And, you know, on its face, is it a good tax or a bad tax? I don't even have to get into that. Is that Nevadans voted 4-1 against a commerce tax, and that should be respected. I was the first person to challenge the governor on that. He had a hearing in which I was pretty roundly criticized, and then the controller came in, and now the attorney general has said that he's opposed to it. But what I really want to do is my issue with the controller, I fully support repealing the tax, is that leaves a hole in the budget. In other words, that this is somewhere around $300 million. And what I want to do is I've focused on the stadium. This the governor imposed a passed a $750 million hotel revenue tax. I want this instead of a $2 billion stadium in Clark County, $1 billion builds a great stadium. Let's take that other $1 billion and spend it on education and diversifying the economy. Let's do something that benefits the people of Nevada, not wealthy football team owners.
So, as a former 23-year San Francisco Giants season ticket holder, I went through that same experience where, you know, in the city of San Francisco, I don't think you can get a consensus that oxygen is a good thing to have in the air, and they clearly had no interest in funding, you know, a baseball stadium for, you know, to house millionaires at the pleasure of billionaire owners. And so San Francisco Giants went out. They got private financing, and they have one of the most beautiful parks in baseball, and, you know, won a couple of World Series at the, you know, 10 years later. So I agree with you that, you know, that public tax dollars should have no business propping up businesses who would otherwise not be able to be in business. Back to the commerce tax for a minute. When I was a kid, the gaming industry pretty much financed the entire government. Almost all of the revenue that came in, you know, there was no personal income tax, there's still no state income tax, was borne on the shoulders of folks coming to Vegas and Reno and dropping piles of cash. The argument that I hear for the commerce tax is that, and perhaps, you know, addressing the $300 million hole that repealing what we have now would be to put that burden back onto the casinos who have managed through lobbying and clever accounting schemes and loophole advantage taking have been able to shift that burden away from them. What's your feeling on that? You know, is that where the burden belongs?
Yeah, Sam, I mean, there's a larger issue here, and it's the pay-to-play mentality in this state. And whether it's the lobbyists, whether it's the casino owners, we elect people who go to Carson City, and they're effectively ambushed by the lobbyists. And that really needs to end. Governor Sandoval had three separate special sessions, and each one of them was supported by a lobbying group. The first one was for Trick, was for Tesla, and admittedly Tesla's done a great job, but they haven't used the tax abatements that they were given. They've all been sold to the casinos, who then save $40 million. Faraday Future was the second one. This was the electric automobile plant. I opposed this from pretty much day one, and as events turned out, I was the only one to oppose it. They imploded July 10th and pulled out of the state. I would have been asked to issue $175 million in bonds, which would have defaulted, and there would have been a burden on the taxpayers. The third is this $2 billion stadium, which is at the moment progressing in Clark County. Again, if you want to watch football, that's fine. Let the Raiders pay for it. And if we were in such great shape, you know, and I say this jokingly, if it was the Patriots or the Colts or the Broncos, I might feel differently. But come on, this is not something that a state which is 51 out of 50, 49 out of 50, 47 out of 50 in recent educational surveys should support. So I am very much against spending the $2 billion. It's the lobbyists. I mean, I had to laugh. We lost that vote by one. To get the ESAs on the agenda, and I had to walk through a gauntlet of lobbyists in the lobby of the legislature. So I think this, everyone doesn't really pay a lot of attention to it, but it has real world implications for the people of this state.
So that's really interesting that you say that. As a side note, the Governor's Office of Economic Development is going to take some of those bonds that you're able to give back to the taxpayers and use them to help finance a pipeline out at TRIC to deliver effluent from Sparks to the facility out there. So that the crony capitalism isn't done yet. But you know, when we talk about education, you know, the state is spending money. They're throwing cash at the poor standings that we have. And, you know, I often told, I ran a business for 25 years in California, and I often reminded my employees that not to confuse hard work with results. And so, you know, simply throwing money at the problem isn't going to solve it necessarily. Certainly getting the teachers unions away from the lobbyists, away from the legislators will help. I think that ESAs will help as well. But what do you think, can be done about this problem that we have with education? And you know, what would you bring that would be a new set of eyes looking at it and a new set of ideas to address the problem?
Yeah, well, Sam, the ESAs are front and center. We know that the legislature passed the enabling bills. There were three court cases. The courts had they said that the bill itself was fine. They didn't like the funding, and that can be fixed. The governor did not want to fix it, despite what he said. But let's look at the overall education. We spend roughly $2 billion a year, $4 billion in a biennium, to fund education in this state. And yet, we're still 51 out of 50, 49 out of 50, 47 out of 50. There's clearly a problem here. The governor raised taxes by $1.5 billion, and just I 2 or 3 months ago found out that there was a shortfall in Clark County, which is kind of comical, $60 to $80 million. No one has taken a long, hard look at it. We keep throwing money at the schools. And again, don't get me wrong. There are some very good schools in this state. There's some good charter schools, which are considered public. But there are all too many schools that are not educating our kids. And I think the state has a responsibility to look at some of the issues. One of them is, are we top-heavy? In other words, that there's too many assistant superintendents, and then the assistant to the assistant, and then the assistant to the assistant to the assistant. That needs to stop. I think we have very qualified teachers, and again, this is where the lobbying comes in. Our licensing regulations in this state are very much out of whack with the people who are available. And again, this needs to be looked at. And I'm not going to let the legislature set up a bunch of committees. I want all hands on deck to look at this problem. And instead of each legislature, I spoke to one state senator, said they had something like 1,000 bills last time. I would venture to say that 900 of those were a total waste of time. And if elected, that will change. I will stop it.
Well, certainly as governor, you have the power of the veto pen, and I concur with you. You know, one of the things that I often say is, hey, if you wanna pass this new super important, very critical bill that's going to be a new law that's going to govern us, why don't you take one off the books, or maybe two, or maybe 10, because, you know, by golly, if it's that important, then surely something else out there isn't as critical. Finally, the last topic I'd like to touch on is healthcare. You had mentioned that, you know, cuts and scrapes versus, you know, lung transplants require two different approaches. Back in the day, you know, health insurance was in fact for those critical, you know, catastrophic episodes. And when you had a cut or a scrape or needed some antibiotics, you went to the doctor and you paid the bill. You know, again, staying away from the national conversation, you know, looking at Nevada and what we face, hearing that, you know, that there are going to be no insurance providers that are going to cover Nevada, and that, you know, there's this sort of draconian or terrifying specter on the horizon that Nevadans have to look to be fearful of. I look at places like here in Story County, we have the community chest. You know, it started as a Story County specific healthcare opportunity, and all of a sudden now, you know, it's across the state. It's in Tonopah, it's in Hawthorne, it's in different rural areas, and providing the kind of care that, you know, the folks need in the trenches. What's your thoughts on that, finally, regarding healthcare?
Yeah, Sam, I think I think Congress did everyone a disservice by rushing through to repeal Obamacare. I mean, there's certainly problems with Obamacare. Parts of it should certainly be repealed. But what they didn't do is look at the underlying issue. And the underlying issue is someone has to pay the bill. Is whoever the and it's a complex problem. You have providers, you have patients, you have Medicare, you have Medicaid, you have a lot of people who are involved. But I think you want to start out with saying, someone has to pay for this. How are we going to do that? And what I think needs to be recognized is that they're really, when you pay your very large health insurance premium, you're covering everything. And these premiums have doubled and tripled over the last several years. I think we could easily, if we partitioned health care between what I call cuts and scrapes, which is the cold, the cut, skin rash, from critical care, which is the lung cancer, it's heart cardio problems. I think you could easily, most people who go to the doctor, and I've seen studies on that, 75%, 90% go for the cuts and scrapes. You could do that anywhere from $50 to $70 per month. And I've talked to one doctor who thinks with telemedicine that could be reduced to $10 to $20 a month. And as I said, that's what most people go to the doctor for. And as far as critical care, again, the government will probably have to get involved there. But you can choose. I mean, if you're young and healthy, you're probably not going to spend a huge amount on critical care premiums. So, again, I was disappointed generally with what the Congress did. As governor, I believe I could fix it here. That would be the start, is to look at those separately, to try and listen to what these different groups wanted. There's issues with doctor payments. There's issues with negotiated rates, in other words, what does a particular service cost. But again, these are solvable if they're put in the proper context.
Excellent. Mr. Schwartz, really appreciate your time today. The folks here in Story County enjoy hearing from you. We look forward to more of these in the future as the primaries come around next March and or June, I should say. And good luck to you out there. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate you having me.
Okay, that'll wrap it up for this edition of the Storyteller Podcast. Once again, if you like it, share it with a friend. If you think it's worth supporting, send us some cash. And until next time, enjoy things out there. Winter's coming, and the Indian summer is just about over.